You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, welcome to National Old Bad Joke Day on Wake Up Tucson. A skeleton walks into a bar and says, "Hey, bartender, I'll have a beer and a mop." Get it? Ah! Anyway, thank you. Hey, remember, August 17th is our amazing fundraiser for Honor Flight. Go to wakeuptucson@gmail.com to RSVP. $45 at the door. Dinner, dancing, night at the USO, and let's help these men and women get to the war memorials in D.C. in November. That's our goal here. So we got some great prizes. Ted Maxwell, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Chris. How are you doing today? And the rigatoni is phenomenal.
Thank you, sir.
And I haven't gotten any on the white shirt yet.
On your pants,
yes. On the pants, yes. On the white shirt, no.
So we'd have a little
Matt
bit more.
Warned me. Matt warned
you
me.
You skin and bones, have more. anyway, yeah, so I made a baked rigatoni last night. I decided to bring some into the crew, feeding Jimmy B over at the Groove. We're doing it all here at Wake Up Tucson. Tomorrow, Juan Almanza will be here to kick off our America's Best Mexican Food interview series in conjunction with the folks at Visit Tucson. So we got that going for us.
There you go.
So we're going out strong this week before Matt and I do driving school for a variety of politicos.
Teaching, not attending.
No, teaching. Yeah. Correct. Yes, yes, right. Yes, 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 absolutely.
Look at us. I was going to say, I want to hear what tickets you guys got that got you to go to driving school.
So our thing is, one of our rules is when you speed, if you're going to speed, don't double the speed limit. That's one of our big rules that we're going to be teaching.
That's probably a good one to follow.
You are correct. So we're going to do that. And also, Ted, I want to thank you for securing, you just gave it to me, a F-16 simulator experience with the Air National Guard. Wonderful. How's that whole thing work?
It is actually a great experience for a couple reasons. It's great for the unit too. A lot of people, every time you see somebody in a flight suit or in fatigues and they tell you they're in the 162nd, oh, you're at Davis-Monthan. They're not. The largest F-16 unit right now in the world is at the Tucson Air National Guard, the 162nd Wing, which is located out on the international airport. So when you're out there and you see some shades with funny smaller planes under it, that's the unit. U.S. and international training of F-16s and of the pilots, including, as there was, it was published and it's out there, that the Ukrainian pilots are conducting their training here in Tucson to get going. So they do a lot, but you don't realize how small that little location is compared to the enormity of Davis-Monthan.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, whoever wins that, is I'm going to work with them to get the tour set up, and then I'm going to try to be out there too. And they'll give us a tour, hopefully out on the flight line, so you can touch the planes, you can ask questions.
Love it.
We'll get a mission brief, which we'll kind of talk about the unit out there. We'll give, this will be what I would call the Class A type tour. And like I said, I'll go out there. So if you got any problems with any things I've ever said on Chris's show, and you can complain to me the whole time I'm out there. But the biggest thing is it culminates in an hour in the simulators. And simulators from when I first started flying to what they are now are night and day. These are 360 visuals. You'll be sitting in the cockpit of the F-16. All that will be appear the same. You'll be able to take off, fly around, maybe fly next to another airplane.
Play Danger Zone in the background.
And you can. And the funny part about it is the one next to you could also be, potentially, will be somebody else in your group that you can then go up and fly against each other.
Wow.
And it's a little tough to do because it's I'd like to say it's, you know, it's just like the video games. It's not. It'd be a great experience, I think, for anybody. And it's something, you know, my goal is to make it as best of an experience as possible out there. But you'll learn a lot about the community, a lot about the F-16s. And if you're an aviation junkie, it's a great opportunity.
Try not to shoot a missile at the virtual ex-wife's house either and during the whole thing, please, everybody. Let's just keep it cool.
Wow.
And the irony of it is the graphics nowadays take it down to that kind of detail. You know, you can see a mountain, you can see the ranges, you can see all the buildings, it's the stadium. It all works really good. The graphics have been the biggest changer for simulation
training. What did your graphics look like when you first crawled in one of these things?
It was terrible.
It was like a little stick figure?
It was like Pong. You know, most of the training when I went through, you did it in a dark environment. It was all about instruments. It was all about, you know, recoveries. And there was very little graphics you could do. Even when we were doing our target delivery, it was a box or a box that had a, you know, something coming out of it that made it look like a tank. It was not graphic. Now you can go up and you can fly on the ranges up at Nellis Air Force Base. You can go fly anywhere. It's the advent of access to satellite generated imagery.
Sure.
And my last job in the Air Force, I was working advanced simulators, and we had really good stuff then, but nothing like what we've got now. And the irony back then is all of our satellite generated imagery in the U.S. was pretty much classified. It was, you couldn't take it down to a level below 5 meters or 7 meters. There was some limit.
Right.
Well, all the classified imagery that you could purchase from the Russians at the time was already down to like 3-2 meters. So a lot of the original demonstrations we were receiving was using that photographic imagery versus ours. And now it's, you know, you can find photographic imagery on almost anything. And it's really, you know, most of the stuff that we care about, you'll see blanked out on stuff. Even if you look at, you know, Davis-Monthan, there's areas that the government will wash out just because, and you know, a lot of that's to do with the Boneyard and other areas.
Well, this experience is going to be part of some of the greatest auction raffle prizes you can have in at one thing. Tucson Coin and Grout Autograph has donated a chunk of gold right along with Mark Dannell. Sarah called me with a great idea. We're going to do one of the things will be a virtual wine cellar. We'll talk about that. We'll have a little for some of you people with wine issues. It'll be perfect for you.
And I do want to say thank you for doing this. The Honor Flight is a program that touches so many lives. If you can track the number of World War II veterans that are still living.
Yep.
And I think majority of the World War II veterans who have had the opportunity to go on an honor flight and go back to D.C. with a plane loaded of escorts and other members who have served in World War II and Korea, and now the honor flights start to take Vietnam veterans as well.
Yep.
And they go back, and the emotion you see just being with the other folks they know served, and when they see the memorials back there and they see the Vietnam Wall, it is a very heavy day. But what's amazing to me is the community send-off they get when they leave.
Oh yeah.
And the community send-off they get when they come back. It is a life-changing experience, not just for the veterans, but for those who are serving as the escorts.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. So we always, this is an easy sell for Wake Up Tucson to say, can you help us with Honor Flight?
Well, I'm hoping you get to pull in a big number. I think talk to the Honor Flight folks, and they'll tell you what a single Honor Flight covers. And I hope you can put a big dent in that amount.
I hope so, too. Let's get Robert on the line with a quick question. You're on with Chris and Ted. What's up, Robert?
Oh, hi. I just wondered if that simulator is available to the public, or is it all military only?
Oh, it's a tour. Obviously, there will be some parts of the simulator that will be turned off.
I think he wants to know if
on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Oh no, these are the actual in the simulators that are used to train the pilots out at the
162nd. Other than these special instances like this, you just can't call up and go, "I'd like to ride in the simulator."
No, you can't.
Okay.
Which is an incentive to bid.
Yeah, okay.
It is an incentive to bid. Right. You're correct. Robert, thanks for the call, bud.
Thank you.
And just so everybody knows, there are some things that are restricted, cameras in the simulator bay, some other stuff, but they'll make sure that the leadership out of the base will make sure that none of us do anything that would get us, or probably more importantly, them, in trouble.
Correct. All right, let's go to break. We're going to do roads. We're getting in the roads first.
Sounds good. There is an RTA meeting tomorrow. You know, talk timing, funding. It's important. It's important to our region, and we can talk about it.
Sergio, 790-2040 is the phone number.
I actually had a great conversation with Sergio this week, so I'm not sure he'll call. But if he wants to, Sergio, you know I'll always talk to you on the air as well.
We're playing 1972. Ted's Tijuana buddy Richard Nixon came back into office briefly. Ted, Checkers, and I are ready to get down there right away. Stop screwing around with the TRA or whatever that is, and let's get to Tijuana now. Wake up. All right, little Jackson Brown, 1972 presidential playlist. It's the Tricky Dick's Brief Return playlist here for 1972. And we're hanging out with Ted Maxwell, Southern Arizona Leadership Council. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks, Chris. And again, thanks for the rigatoni.
Absolutely. I did a little baked rigatoni.
I never eat breakfast, but I wasn't turning that down.
We're feeding the crew today here after, you know, Mark Van Buren was bemoaning that we didn't feed him on a non-food Friday.
He got donuts.
That's true.
You know, before Mayor
you
and
May
I
and Ed went to Alvernon Donuts.
Oh, by the way, Alvernon Donuts. They've only got one window left in the place.
I was going to ask you how many windows.
One. The front door.
Every one of their windows.
Everything else was covered with wood. When we pulled in, I go, are they open? And the open sign was there, but everything else was covered with wood. I don't know about the sides, but in the front, all wood. And I'm just shaking my head going, and this is acceptable.
One of my it was on like the Tucson Police Scanner Facebook page, right? It was a SunTran bus from yesterday that whatever was going on, the guy changed the message on the front of the bus that says, call the police.
Seriously?
Yep. Wild out there, man. Wild.
Yeah, there's
Alvernon Donuts only has the front door. Everything else is broken in the windows. That is unbelievable.
Yeah. And they're still in business. And they still had their, when I walked in, there was about six customers sitting at the two tables. And Mayor Ed and I went in and we picked out a half dozen. We told her just to fill what she wanted. So it could have been the rest of the donuts. When I left, there was only like three left. So it looked like, you know, this place can eat.
Well, keep supporting Alvernon Donuts as they're being besieged at 29th and Alvernon. So.
Absolutely. I wonder on some of those businesses, as long as they continue to do good business, if it's not, they should just leave the wood up. And
I would leave it up all the time.
Yep. Because if you replace it, broken again, replace it, broken again, it's a losing battle.
Everyone should have wood all over their windows and just have a local artist come in and paint it for you.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that. I was approached this weekend by somebody who's trying to get something that would put in ordinance that all new building structures and businesses in the, you know, in the city's bounds would have to have some piece of art affiliated, either a mural on one of the walls, try to make it a, you know, both a beautification but more of an attraction draw. Well, they could do it with the wood signs. They wouldn't even have to, you know.
Yeah, forget about the stupid ordinance.
We have that in
Oral Valley. 1% of the project has to go to public art.
True.
Right. But again, Oral Valley is, you know, a paradise compared to what's going on down in the city of Tucson right now. So,
yeah, and it's funny, though. You talk to Chief Riley up in our town. You know, you and I both live in Oral Valley. And she'll tell you that the crime's coming. I mean, it is.
It's pushing, man. You got to be ready. All right. So tomorrow you got an RTA meeting. You're on the RTA board because of your position on the state transportation board.
That's correct.
And we've been trying to, there seems to be the threading the needle dynamic of trying to make this go forward to get to a vote that all the municipalities are at least happy with most of it, might be unhappy with some of it. Is that accurate?
I have said from the beginning, I will know we've got a plan that's gonna go forward when there's parts of it that
everybody hates. Yep.
And not the same part. That's the key.
Of course, that's the way this works.
You know, this year was the 10th anniversary of the ribbon cutting on the streetcar, the Sunlink streetcar. It was a big event. But at that, there were a lot of folks that are adamantly opposed to RT Next because it doesn't have enough transit or it doesn't have enough this. And what I pointed out to them, and when I spoke during the thing, I talked about the streetcar had failed twice in 2003, two different transportation versions. And then 2004 is the first time this region ever came together and passed a regional transportation funding plan and the half-cent sales tax to get it through. And in part is because after those two failures, a plan that not everybody loved, I guarantee Steve Christie was not a fan of the streetcar in 2004, but he was a fan of the RTA. Steve Farley was not a fan of some of the other stuff that you've got to bring people together that can look at it and say, yes, yeah, some of this I don't agree with, but the same people that agree with those parts you don't like may not like what you do. And the key to it is, without regional funding for either Maricopa County or Pima County, we would have little to no funding for infrastructure. Now, all the mayors will say out loud, well, including Mayor Mahoney and Mayor Winfield's talked about it a little bit normally, well, we can do our own half cent. So those people who don't want to have scent, the municipalities know they're going to have a half cent. But Pima County can never do a half cent. And all the projects that actually improve regional transportation aren't going to get done. If the city of Tucson has a half cent, a lot of the projects that we've got in this roads or a lot of the rehabilitation that we can do on regional roads probably isn't going to happen because they're going to do their own thing. The 36% of the population in Pima County that lives in unincorporated county will get nothing, and we're going
to
go on.
All right, we're going to go to break. I have a homework assignment for you during this bottom of the hour news break.
Absolutely.
I want you to rank 1 to 10 what you think the success level has been of the streetcar. 10 being an overwhelming success and 1 being a total dog. Don't tell me now. I want you to think about it when we come back on Wake Up Tucson.
You're going to put me on the spot.
Hell yes. Yeah. All right. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10/3 of the Voice. This amazingly annoying song called Popcorn was big in 1972. So some people call it like it's like Chinese water torture. This is what we're going. This is the old song Popcorn. Here we go. All right, you're on Wake Up Tucson, little John Denver, Rocky Mountain High, 1972 presidential election playlist. Tricky Dick came back briefly.
Yes, he did. And as we've talked about before, I grew up in Whittier, California, and you've never seen signs come down faster when he resigned. I mean, his home, the gas station that his family owned.
You bastard, stabbed me in the back. Stand by, Tricky Dick.
He had to go back to San Clemente because apparently at that point, Whittier had said, wait a minute, we're not going to claim you anymore.
So the picture I put on the Facebook page, on the playlist, is him, Rich Little, playing Richard Nixon in the Rich Little Christmas Carol. He's the Jacob Marley character, is Richard Nixon, Rich Little. And instead of chains and boxes on him, he has the tapes from the 18 and a half minutes. So I thought that was pretty good. So, right. So your homework assignment was... the streetcar, we celebrated 10 years. I remember me and Joe Higgins were at the groundbreaking.
The ribbon cutting? Yeah,
somewhere in this building, there might be the crappy, the fake, everyone was wearing the cheap construction helmets.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of prop. We have those someplace.
Nice.
So what do you think? Outstanding success is a 10, one's a total dog. What do we think?
Personally, I'd give it about a 6. And the reason I say a 6, and a lot of this can be argument. I mean, people could argue about.
Sure.
What impact did the streetcar have on the economic development downtown? The reality is from 2015 to now, downtown has changed. Don't get me wrong. There's things that we need to fix downtown, predominantly around enforcement, and it can be not a great place. There was an article in Letter to the Editor the other day where somebody was complaining that it's become loud at night because of all the music.
I read that on the air. I'm like,
you're living downtown. The goal and objective was to make the downtown a vibrant place so that people would want to go for music, for entertainment, for restaurants, for things. And the streetcar line being there, light rail does result in development in the right areas. It doesn't bring development to all areas. If you go up to Phoenix, there are some areas of their light rail that has no development on it. It just hasn't. But where it's connecting into Tempe, where it's connecting into some of the other municipalities, there's a lot of development that goes up around it. So there's been huge economic development. Ridership is continuing to increase. Now, obviously, when you make the fares free, that changes things. It's continuing to increase. Over 10 million rides, somebody getting on and somebody getting off. It could be the same person at different stops over the 10 years. And last year alone was over a million rides. So
I believe that I'm going to, right, Chris is going to, right now, leap of faith, I'm believing in the 10 million rides. But here's the thing, right? In the end, all I want to know is it generating more and more tax revenue for the city because that's there? Okay. Because the other part of it is downtown's very empty. Still to this day, right? For all of this infrastructure and, whatever number Fletcher throws around for and you can see there's a lot of new buildings there. That's real. I'm not saying it's not real.
And the question you look at, and you're closer to this scene than I am, Chris, so you're going to have more insight. Are the restaurants downtown flourishing? Are they doing enough business and making a profit that there's a desire for other people to open restaurants downtown.
Right.
And that's more of your gig. You'd be able to tell it from that economic standpoint. Is it continually?
You can see we're keep throwing money at the same time over and over at restaurants, just flipping over, right? Doing these TIs and right. things like this. And again, the reason why you can't compare Tempe Mesa streetcar with us or light rail is they have a real community that does stuff. Right? They're business friendly. It's easier to all those things we talked about for years.
I'm
going
to ask
right?
you to stop using business friendly, and here's why I will tell you that. Because yes. every politician will say they support their business friendly. Every politician will say
the difference
they support
is
education.
I've been demonstrating what business friendly means. They keep saying it. They don't know what it means.
Agreed. So what we are using now is the rules, the planning departments, there has to be an ease of business. If it's a pain in the rear end for anybody to come in and do business, to get a permit, to do that, they're going to walk.
Timely and predictable.
Yes. And it has to be, it's just ease. Make it an ease of business. It shouldn't be impairment, you know, there shouldn't be roadblocks to get you to what you have to go through to open a restaurant.
The other thing about the streetcar is nothing two blocks off on either side of the streetcar. It hasn't done much.
And
it all looks the same.
And there's a lot of truth to that. And that's why I was talking about the light rail up north. It doesn't go very deep. People want to get off, and you hear Felipe Garcia talk about areas we want. We want areas where people say, where are we going to go this tonight?
So
you want to go and then figure out where you're going to go.
Downtown's in trouble the more that what Don's doing at Uptown,
mm-hmm.
right, what Jim and Bert are doing at the Oro Valley Marketplace, and as Marana starts developing their downtown, you're going to have places for food and entertainment that you won't have to go downtown.
And
the Roadrunners will be gone in a year or two.
And that conversation actually came up in some of the further conversations that were occurred at Saturday's event. And a lot of discussion was that we don't have enough places of interest where you can go and you say, we're going to go to either one of those locations. You don't know what you're going to do when you get there. But when you go to you go to places in Tempe, to your point, you go down over by Cardinal Stadium, you may not know where you're going to eat, but you know that if you go there, you walk around, there's multiple choices, multiple options for where you could get a beverage, where you can listen to music, you can go to a restaurant. We don't have that in Tucson.
So what Don and Jim and Bert are doing in Oro Valley and at Old Foothills Mall is doing a development, right? A true mixed-use development.
Mixed-use development.
Right? That is all over the success of the Phoenix area, right?
Absolutely.
So let's go to Flagstaff. I'll be there coming up soon, eating at Grimaldi's. That place across...
It's not within 24 hours yet, but it's getting close.
Just east of campus, there's a mixed-use development, right? And it has shopping, has shops and restaurants and stuff.
Absolutely.
Right? On the bottom floor of apartments.
Absolutely.
Right? And
yes.
Then there's a Whole Foods on one side and an REI on the other. And then there's a the overpriced Dutch Brothers. On the north end, all in one spot.
Right.
We can't do that in a county of a million people.
And that is what we need to get to. That is,
right.
And there's a lot of people, and it's ironic because you talk to the folks who are worried about cars on the road. They don't want more cars on the road. They want to get the cars up there. Well, one way to do it is with these mixed use options. People don't have to go anywhere. And in a work from home environment, which, you know, I've got my opinions on it, but it's here to stay in a lot of ways. Mixed use, they can then just go out and they don't have to leave.
And more importantly,
people like you and I get in the car and we say, let's just go down to Oro Valley Marketplace. We may eat at Charred Pie. We may go to Hoppy Vine. We may, you know, we've got options. And that's what I'm hoping to see in Oro Valley because it's close to where I live. I think Don Bourne's effort, and I think they're starting with the mixed use.
The hotel's going up right now.
They're going to go to bring people, and then the people don't have to go anywhere.
Let's just like Aladdin's lap. I asked his name, and he magically shows up. Sergio, you're on with Ted and whatever my name is. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Sergio.
I've bemoaned the fact of the RTA for years, but the thing about the RTA is the RTA as it exists today is the only piece of government entity in this town that has actually worked, which is very little things. The streetcar is Tucson's albatross. They can take it or leave it. It was their choice. They built it, their problem. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go to the stadium. Doesn't move people around efficiently. They built it for way too much money. I've seen the one in El Paso, Texas. It blows the one away here, and it actually moves people around there. And they built it for less, and it looks better. Here, we have this weird problem with the people of the city of Tucson trying to dictate how we're supposed to move around the region when they can't even move around themselves. These bus lines, these things that they're asking for in the, whatever, the Citizens Advisory Committee, they are lucky if those home associations that are within the city of Tucson are going to let them put a bus stop, let alone put, light rail through most of the city of Tucson. They're a bipolar city that has no idea what they want, when they want it, and when they actually get what they want, it doesn't actually work. So it's like, how are we supposed to regionally make this work? Because as it is, Oro Valley, Marana, and Sahuarita have finally figured out, we don't need you. So we're starting to get to a point here where, you know what, I can have my own downtown. I don't need to go all the way down to Congress and get assaulted. I don't need to go to the Mercado San Agustin and have a terrible time parking in a dirt lot that has potholes the size of small.
It's so
Buick.
True that they can still get away with having an unpaved parking lot, which I assume is going to be developed one year.
And Sergio, I agree with what you're saying all the way up to the point where those municipalities can go it alone. It will have a regional impact. If the RTA does not exist, there will be a regional impact. Can Marana go with a half-cent sales tax? You bet. They absolutely can. But the roads in RTA, which is Cortero Interchange, they're not going to do the same. And I'll be honest, I don't believe they will do it to the level that's going to support the infrastructure or for the traffic they believe they will bring in if they focus on themselves. They won't do INO, which is right now in the plan. It will be about what they do. And the same goes for the city of Tucson. I've told the mayor, if they go a half-cent sales tax inside the city of Tucson, they can get a lot more of Move Tucson done. But then there is no regional approach to infrastructure, and that will be problematic in the long run.
So I think a young strapping man named Sergio last year said this on this very show. What's the incentive for anyone on the out edges to connect with Tucson anymore? Right.
Well, let's go back the other way, Chris. Let's go back to the donut.
Yeah.
The donut understands, hey, let's play together. But for some reason, the middle of this does not want to play. Like everybody in Oro Valley, Marana, Sahuarita, even the county, I'll give them the credit all day long since Allie Miller cut them underneath the knees from the bonds. They have started to play ball and actually use their general fund monies to maintain their road. The city of Tucson does not continue that mentality, right? There is something wrong when it comes to the city of Tucson where everybody else wants to play and they just want to take their ball and go home. And then they scream at everybody else when we want to. It's like, how are we supposed to deal, again, how are we supposed to deal with a group of people that do not want to deal with us? It's like trying to, I'm dealing with terrorists, it almost feels like.
There's definitely a challenge, and there's been a lot of conversation outside the RTA. This is outside the RTA. This is inside of our room. Is what we don't want to become in this region is a Detroit. Now you go back to Detroit now, and there's been a lot of changes. They've started recovering, but they went through decade of just being a train wreck. And it does impact the donut. That's the problem. It impacts the donut. So we can either go that direction, and try to do it all within the municipalities on their own. Unfortunately, I think in Tucson, with 36% of our citizens living in unincorporated Pima County, it makes it extremely difficult to do. And I'm more concerned about, I mean, Chris, you live in Oro Valley, you work down here. I live in Oro Valley, I work in the city of Tucson. We've got things around. I know when we were talking, Sergio, you mentioned that a lot of your traffic you do on I-10. That's potentially only going to get worse if we don't keep our regional roads up, and we need to improve these regional roads so when we need them, they're usable.
All of these things you talk about are real, but it all comes down to will.
Absolutely.
It's only will.
No, it is.
And we can talk about the 36 unincorporated and all these things, right?
Absolutely.
But if we had a critical mass of elected officials who believed in taking care of the basics to improve the lives of all of their citizens, we wouldn't be having these stupid conversations.
And that is why I am such a supporter of the RTA. One, remember, funding-wise, the RTA brings in 2 times as much money as we get from the feds or the state. And that includes the money coming down to Pima County. That includes all the stuff that we're now, and Sergio, you're correct, going PAYGO was a huge change for the county. That was a significant victory for using the funds we've got for what they're intended on. But the numbers will dwindle. And that's going to create a bigger problem in the long term. And you won't see it until it doesn't pass and it's not there.
Sergio's right. The city of Tucson hates all the other municipalities. That's where you're at.
Well, and one of the big challenges, the city of Tucson will tell you they collect 62% of the RTA funds, which is accurate.
That's fine.
So
keep it.
If they all go half cent, well, that's where you get into the conversation.
62% of the money and probably 75% of the murders all occur in the city of Tucson.
They said yes. Agreed. Yeah, won't argue with
that. They have their own problem. Look, Ted, remember we talked about Detroit. They had to hit rock bottom.
They did.
Literally crumbling around them. And we're not there. The region actually wants to make it better. But we have the last 7 people in the room who do not want to help the rest of these people. That is the problem. You have 7 people that do not want to play ball.
I always enjoy the conversation, Sergio. We'll keep this one going.
You the man. Thanks, Sergio. Have a good day, buddy.
We'll see you guys later.
A little group called Yes had a song in 72 called Roundabout. I don't know if I've ever heard this song. Wake up, Tucson. Doot, 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 doot. All right, we got a short segment here with Ted. Ted wants to go over the timing of RTA and before it might get to a vote to the human beings called voters.
I think it's important to for people to know that what we're doing right now at the RTA board is coming up with an RTA next plan to forward to the community for their input. I've said all along that there's going to be parts of it that every person that votes yes on that board is not going to like. You know, if you're in the city of Tucson, your priorities are different than if you're in the city of Marana. And it's not going to be 100% or nothing because nobody's 100% of the community. But the most important thing is there's stuff on there that we need to have the opportunity to hear truly from the citizens on what you want, what you don't. And what that means is we need to energize it. So we're trying to push to get a plan. My goal is to have no later than August a plan. The original plan was to be on the ballot in May of 25 because the tax expires in June of 26. And that gives an opportunity that if it fails the first time, you can go back again and give it another shot before you lose the funding. We have to go out to the citizens for a lot of reasons. One is so that we can tweak the plan and those who are in opposition to different things on the plan can hear from the public on whether they like it or don't. That means those groups need to show up and speak because, you know, as I've said, the advocates will always show up. That's not who we need to hear from. We need to hear from the rest of the voters. And May 25 is going to be very difficult to get to. There's no doubt. Chris and I were talking it off there.
Yeah.
That could mean it's going to be August 25, which means we could have a short term to one in May if it goes down. The bottom line is when we get to the final plan, and the final plan will get voted on, that will go to the board and be referred to the Board of Supervisors. They have to refer it to the ballot. That will happen after we've received what should be over 70, 80 meetings with citizens in Marana. I talked with Mayor Honey about that yesterday. He wants to make sure they've got an equal representation of meetings as well as Oro Valley. But we've got to hear from people on what they like and don't like about it. And
yeah.
And trust me,
and
there's going to be stuff.
August of 25 would suck for you guys because of the city of Tucson primaries.
Yeah, it makes it much more difficult, especially depending on how the actual makeup of the program turns out.
One of the questions off air was someone to know the 22nd Street Bridge, that they only got partial money after. I always love doing press conferences for partial money for projects, making it sound like...
So sometimes what people don't understand is if you've accepted federal dollars, it comes with a whole different list of requirements
sure.
that you have to meet. And that does tend to drive up the cost of projects. Right now, the position of the RTA management is that our funding on roadway projects has met its cap. So we've got 11 more projects that have to be done before the 26th, or have to be started before 26 is over, not done. And we can't give any more money. So the question was, is it going to be included in RTA next?
That they're going to throw that?
No.
Okay.
None of that's in RTA next. There's four projects that were moved by agreement in three different municipalities that has been moved into the RTA next project. And those we done up front in the program. And that money comes out of the distribution of funds to the other municipalities for the rest.
Awesome. Well, that's Ted Maxwell. Jump in Tucson Tuesdays.
There we go. Appreciate that. And listen, stay on after your third hour to listen to Grant Krueger, as he's having Mike Jetty as his guest today, for Democratic or for the county, Pima County Attorney.
It's one of the biggest ones of this entire year locally.
Appreciate it, Chris. And again, thank you for breakfast.
All right. No problem. Bake rigatoni and filthy pirate coffee. It's what we do around here. Wake up.